Hello. Welcome to Spotlight, shining imaginative joy through the summer mist.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we enjoy a walk around a wonderful new exhibition at the House of Mananan. A chat with the Manx youth bard, in English, happily, so non-Manx speakers like me can understand. More from Martin Kane about what's going on at the Arts Council. And a first peek ahead to this year's Clonic. Remember, do get in touch with any creative, artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight this programme. Of course, poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, opera. Well, there's the Manx opera coming up, isn't there? Get in touch, Howard Kane, with an E, at manxradio.com or spotlight@manxradio.com. Let's get you featured on the programme. Get it out there, have a chat. Hear what you're up to. First off, we're out west to Peel, or is it over west? I'm never quite too certain, to look at a wonderful exhibition there with a particular theme. So come over to the House of Mananan to see the latest exhibition there, which is Traces, if you've not been down, and it is the Creative Network with a curated exhibition down here on the theme of Traces. Take that as you will. Fascinating stuff. We've just been having a walk around with a couple of members of the Creative Network, and I'll just get a bit of background first. Myra, introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Myra Gilbert, and I'm a member of the Creative Network on the Isle of Man.
And just give us a bit of the history. It's been around for, what, 15 years, more or less?
Yes, 2012 we started. We were looking for new places to show work because we felt there's a bit of a dearth of suitable spaces, and so we started with an open studio event in Peel, and it's grown from that, from about 40 artists to begin with to about 70-75 artists now. And in this exhibition there's 28 artists and 41 pieces of work, and we've had it externally curated so that there's a fresh view on the actual theme that we've set, which is how you would respond to the term traces, which is quite a broad theme.
And who chose the theme? You did.
I did, yes.
Oh, was that you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And as you say, it is, and it can be interpreted however the artist wishes.
It's a very personal and subjective, or really quite broadly, and use just the way that you use your artist's media to make marks and so on. So everything in between. I don't think any two pieces of work sort of mirror each other. And we've had about a year to work on it, so we were quite pleased with the response. And then when you actually have it together like this, and the curators met each other at last for the first time, they did a digital curation at a distance to start with. It's really been surprising how well it's come back to its theme as a group of work.
It does look lovely, I must admit. And we just had a quick walk around to catch some of the artists, and we have another member of the Creative Network here. Would you just like to introduce yourself?
I'm Paul Ford, member of the Creative Network.
And we're just standing in, well, as you come into the gallery, over into the sort of left side of the gallery, looking at your own work here. We just get a little bit closer here, and we can see three pieces on the far wall: The Lost Girl, The Shell-Shocked Soldier, and Inseparable Siblings. Tell us about this work.
Well said, yeah. Well, I was fortunate enough to inherit some old glass negatives, family negatives, once taken by Hilda Newby, which a lot of Manx people will know, and when I was about 7 years old, it was my sort of pleasure at the time to, when the studio was closing, to smash up hundreds of these plates, which was great fun when you're seven. Later on, I think, oh God, what a great document that would have been of so many people's lives, because so many Manx people had their portraits taken by Hilda, and my mother and my aunt worked there, and we lived nearby. We even have portraits of Airedale Terrier. the loss of all of those things is terrible. I'm lucky enough to have my family's. And with the theme of traces, you know, I sort of experimented with the glass plates themselves and overlaying them and photographing them on a light box. And I didn't want to be too tricksy, too, you know, Photoshop-y. Just wanted them to have the, because they're like relics, really, to me. And there's a history in photography also of ghost pictures. And, you know, when you overlay, like there's a famous picture of Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln's wife, I should say, with Abraham Lincoln semi-opaque behind her. And so I think it comes from a, Kevin Atherton's referred to it as Manx Gothic. I've always been into things a little bit creepier. My parents were kind enough to let me watch a lot of Hammer films when I was too young, probably. But the photographic element to it, I've printed them on metallic paper, and I love the decomposition of old silver nitrate prints when they go, so you can see through some of the negative quality, you know, negative areas, as it were, that you can see that gleam coming through, which I find really beautiful, and they're printed to stress that, and I've left all the staining of age on them. Each has a sort of family story, which I'm not sure we've got time for, but the Lost Girls are a very close cousin of mine who unfortunately died young, a golden girl in her own way, a child of the 60s, and died in Greece, a drama student and so forth. Great-uncle Jim, I should say, the shell-shocked soldier, it's not easy to say. the overlayer really helped to, I think, give that atmosphere of him as a sort of slightly nervous man, occasionally, you know, but a gentleman, a lovely man. But the visual effects are what made me choose this image as against perhaps maybe members of the family who were closer. The third one, Inseparable Siblings, in a way is a sort of visual pun, because it's actually my head as a baby with my sister's head coming through it. Fortunately, we are still friends. So it's not all misery, you know.
They are fascinating. They're wonderful to actually look at. As you say, definitely speak of the past, definitely have a dark edge to them. And the way they're sort of mirrored with the sort of the positives and the negative, it's almost sort of speaks of life and afterlife. We sort of look at it in a curious sort of way. It's,
I'm glad you have that reaction, yes.
Definitely.
And I put the, as it were, the dark negatives to the top to stress that. And it also makes people turn their head upside down to see the positive of the person as they would have been represented, you know.
Fascinating. So if you come into the gallery, you turn left and you'll come around and see Paul's work here. There are works all around us, and we're only just getting a little bit. Patricia Tortoise to one side. We're going to walk over with Myra to the other side, because we'll probably get kicked out as we're always here towards the end of the day. There's wonderful works by Eileen Scher in the background. You can hear a video installation by Kevin Atherton, who sort of curated it, or was one of the curators overseeing it. We come over into the left-hand or the right-hand side as you come into the gallery here. Some fascinating works on the right-hand side of some almost like papier-mâché works. You'll please see more about that. Letting Go by Helen Fox. Take Home a Teenager. Yeah, I do mean that. And some of them have been taken home. These are It's Spooky and a Bit Scary. Teenage Traces by Janet Corrin.
The Creative Network, wonderful organisation, and indeed really creative. Thanks to Myra and Paul for showing me around. We'll hear more from Myra next week and look at her work in the exhibition.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
A bit more from our wonderful sponsors at the Isle of Man Arts Council now. They're always there in the background supporting so many artistic endeavours. Now, before the Traces exhibition at the House of Menin, there was a truly amazing exhibition which featured works which were part of the Isle of Man's National Loan Collection, which have works in public places all over the place. But there was a whole load of them gathered together. Terrific stuff if you didn't see it. World-famous artists such as the recently deceased David Hockney. If you missed that, however, fear not. As Martin told me, there will be other chances to see some of the artworks, or indeed online, all of the artworks.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be doing a thing with Manx National Heritage where every other year we'll do a big exhibition like the one that's on now. But in the meantime with those, there'll be more things like talks and workshops, introducing people to the collection, spaces that we'll loan out to other exhibitions, works as well. And also we do have a digitised version of the collection too, so you'll be able to see whereabouts in the island they are. So if you have, you know, if you ever wanted to see a Picasso in real life, you'll be able to see where that is on loan. And then if it's somewhere that's not as publicly accessible, you can always get in touch with the team here and we can look to arrange to do a little private viewing of it.
And the digital, that's via the Arts Council website?
Yes, yeah. So it's just iomarts.com/loan.
Brilliant idea. Just turning on to the sort of the bread and butter, as it were, of a lot of the work the council does down here, which is the funding, which goes throughout the year, of course. I know there's been some special funding when we're leading up to the last year or so, but throughout year in, year out, there is the sort of rounds of funding people can put in for, whether that's travel or bursaries or to help with artistic projects. Whereabouts are we at the moment on that scale?
So with our regular funding, our grants and our underwrites, our creative industries funding and our film funding, there's a couple more left this year. So the next one to really look out for, the deadline for applications is the 17th of July, and that's for a meeting on the 7th of August. That one also includes in our student awards fund. Which we have, so that's a hard deadline for any students that are looking to go away. We have these £10,000 grants that we give out to 6 students a year. So that 17th of July is the deadline for that one. Other than that, our travel grant one rolls as normal, so you can apply any time. And essentially when we get kind of a handful of applications together, we get council together to make their approvals or declines on those.
And the 17th of July, that's coming up rapidly on the rails, no doubt. Anyone listening to this and thinking, you know what, might be something of interest, is that all available online? Can they come in and have a chat?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so the application is solely online, but we'd always advise that you come in and have a chat with us, whether it's your first time applying, whether you're a seasoned applicant. But, you know, if you're asking for quite a lot of money, it's always worthwhile coming in and having a chat with the team, just to go through maybe parts of the application, what council would look for in an application, and things like that. So if you've got an idea for anything, then definitely get in touch.
So that's always the place to go in the first instance. Take a look. A lot of the information there online. But as you say, you're never far away. If you don't know where it is, go into the Villa Arcade, go up to the top on the left and up the steps, turn left, and you're always welcome. There's usually someone manning the office and you can have a chat with someone, whether it's about an idea you have, something artistic, or indeed any of the funding applications. There's always someone there who'll be able to have a word.
Yeah, absolutely. And if for whatever reason, when we're finishing the exhibition that we spoke about, there might be a day or two when some of us are out of the office taking the exhibition down. There'll always be little things like that. You can always come in and just book in a time to come and speak to one of us as well.
Great. Good for a catch up. And hopefully we'll go and have a chat with you again a few weeks' time and see how things are going as before we know it, the sun will be been and gone and we'll be talking Christmas.
Absolutely.
And we'll be talking to Arts Development Manager at the Arts Council, Jim Rawson, in the next couple of weeks. We had a lovely poem from the Manx youth bard, Matilda Watson, last week. Matilda writes in the Manx language itself, of course, which makes her work unique in the bardic annals, to the best of my knowledge. I asked her how this Manx poetry had come about.
Well, I went to the Bunscoll and poetry was quite a big part of the Bunscoll. Annie Kizik was my year 5 and 6 teacher, and obviously she was a Manx youth, she was a Manx bard.
Absolutely, so. A Manx bard and also a fine poet.
Yes, very much so.
So was she an inspiration?
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, she definitely was. Because I remember we would always write poems in Bunscoll. Like, it was for the folk awards, for everything. We were just always writing poems. So I think it's really interesting to see that how much that sort of influenced my poetry as part of, like, just associating Manx with poems, because I wrote them all in primary school.
Yeah. And is it more difficult to actually rhyme in Manx, because it's perhaps not as sort of as romantic a language as English? Is it harder, or do you not go for rhymes in the same way, or how does that work for you?
Well, personally, my brain sort of like just finds the rhymes. Like, if I think of a word, I just sort of go into it, like ben, nen, like it just sort of like kind of rolls off my brain sometimes. I'd say personally for me, rhyming in Manx can be a little bit easier than in English. Sometimes.
Easier? Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Right. Why do you think that is? Any thoughts?
Oh, absolutely no clue.
That's straight, nice, yeah. Good, straight, honest answer. And what about inspiration? Where do you draw your inspiration for your poetry?
Oh, everywhere. I'd say the Isle of Man and Manx is definitely a big part of that, but also other poets. I like poems from, like, especially, like, Irish poets, like Dara Fleming. He's very good. You know when people have sort of been, like, with their culture, when it's so far away, but they pull it back? That's sort of a big inspiration for me.
And are you a keen reader of other people's poetry?
I prefer to listen to other people's poetry, yeah. So I like poems I find online. I like listening to those specifically.
Okay. And when it comes to your writing, again, this always interests me, what's your writing process when it comes to poetry? Because I know I've spoken to a lot of poets on this programme over the years, both youth bards and Manx bards and people who aren't bards at all. And everyone has their own unique way of writing poetry. Some, it sort of comes in the middle of the night and they might scribble something down. There was one person, I'm trying to think who it was, one of the youth bards who said, I write mostly on the bus. And quite often I write on the way to school, whatever, and I quite often get things there. Other people might put aside a time a day to try and write something, or something just fires into their head and the poem's almost there, fully formed. How does it work for you?
Well, for me, I think a lot of it's just a way to sort of express myself. Specifically when I'm like out with my friends or something, they don't want to hear all my blabbering on about things.
Oh, they might.
So I just sort of like turn my thoughts into sort of poems. It's not really a process, they just sort of happen in my brain all the time. So I just write down the ones that I like, really.
Yeah, which seems fair enough. And is it something, do you find yourself composing poems on a sort of daily basis, or does it just happen as and when, or do you just try and write something every day?
It just sort of happens as and when, like just randomly. Can be quite annoying sometimes, you know, when you're just like, oh my god, now I need to go and write this down.
Yeah.
I need to go and find like a pen or my phone or something to write something down.
Scribble. I was going to say, do you write on, some people do write on purely on their phone, others love to keep a notebook. Are you a bit of both or neither? Or
I prefer writing on paper, but it's normally just handier if I have my phone on me to write something down quickly.
And what about the performance aspect? Because again, this is something which is quite common. Obviously, lots of people write poetry. Not always, though, do they perform it?
Well, I don't know. I'd never really performed my poetry before, but I recently did. I read a poem for the Manx Folk Awards concert in Peel, and I really enjoyed it. I think I got a lot of confidence for my robes, especially. But, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I quite enjoyed it. It's definitely something I'm looking forward to doing more of.
Yeah. And do people come and talk to you about the work afterwards?
Yeah, sometimes. I've got quite a lot of people come up to me like, oh, what did you say? I've no idea what you just said. And they want some kind of translation.
That is always the problem if you're not bilingual in Manx and English. I suppose that, you know, you're doing a piece and people will be listening thinking, well, it sounds very nice, but I've no idea what Matilda's talking about.
I've gotten that quite a lot.
Do you actually, if you're sort of performing or you're out and about doing something, do you have to then generally sort of say, well, this poem is about afterwards? Or?
Well, sometimes I give them a little clue or tell them what it's about. Sometimes I just come straight forward, but sometimes I like to see them thinking about what on earth I could be talking about. It's my own little mind games.
Oh, boy, yeah. Good. It is good fun having the advantage on people. They could be talking about anything, couldn't you? How has it gone so far? Because you were, I'm just trying to think, how many months are you now into your bardic year?
Well, it was in February that the thing was, so I'd say about 5 months in.
Okay, right.
I'm looking forward to getting more into it after all my exams.
Of course.
They'll be finished next week,
but
I'm looking forward
thank
to
the Lord.
Fully get into it and like start like producing more and going out more.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll be really fun.
And anything unusual you've done so far? Because I know sometimes people, you know, the bards get asked to do things and you think, oh gosh, I've never thought about that before.
Nothing that springs to mind. I was asked to adjudicate one of the Folk Awards competitions because they were reading one of my poems.
Wow.
So that was fun.
Yeah,
that
I bet.
Yeah, especially because I've done the Folk Awards before. I was to be on the other side of it. It's a lot more stressful to adjudicate than it is to perform,
oh,
I would
goodness.
Say.
Yeah.
You get all these wonderful like people like reading poems and you're like, oh my God, they're all so brilliant. I don't know who to choose.
And what's it like hearing your work done by someone else?
Well, very strange. It was very awkward, but they were all just such great kids doing it. They made it very easy. It was very difficult to judge, but they made it very easy to listen to. I was very worried that I would just burst out in laughter when I heard my own work, but they were just so brilliant. It was great.
There are a lot of very talented poets on the Isle of Man, without a doubt. Is it something you've always enjoyed? Because again, some people, you know, come to it very early in childhood, others in their teens, and other people don't start until much later in life. It's something you've always enjoyed from long before you're the bard?
I would say doing it myself was something I much more enjoyed about. Like, when I was in primary school, me and my friends, like, were writing little poetry books all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't enjoy it when we had to, like, go through and analyse all the poems, because I thought it just sort of took all the fun out of it. I like to just hear it and, like, oh, I'll guess that's about that, and then move on. I don't like going into it and, like, picking out little details.
No, I'm with you there. I never enjoyed that much of it. I wasn't very good at it either, but I just like to hear it and sort of let it wash over me, and, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, listen, can you give us a poem, then, of your choice, and we will also ask for a translation as well, because I'm sure there will be people listening who will speak fluent Manx, like Annie. Unfortunately, I'm not one of them, so, yes, I'd need to know what it was about as well.
Well, I thought I would do two, if that's okay.
Please do, absolutely.
This first one is called Gilg, and I wrote it in primary school for the Manx Folk Awards, actually. And it was one of the poems I used to enter the competition to be the bard. It's probably one of my favourite ones I've written. But
marvellous.
This is Gilg. To Gilg Ledger, Anjé Manon, Anjé McCree. Doughty Riol, Fain Skeeladach. As Tre Tommy Smunnick Denuri, Tamiont Sail Elia, Sail Pijigach as Len de Vree, Sail Jesh as Manra. Sitail Gloroil Shaw, Tin a letter and Gilg, Dancer McGeert, Aston Vunskol, Goyle Morn.
Right, now then, give us the translation if you'd be so kind.
So, roughly translated, it's Manx is strong, part of man, part of my heart. To me she is royal, a fairy tale, and when I think of her, I am in a different world. A magical world, full of life, a nice happy world. In this glorious world, the Manx letters dance around and the Bunskol takes pride.
Wonderful stuff, and she's a great speaker. Look out for her performing at various events around the island in months ahead, and we will, of course, feature her again here on Spotlight before her bardic year is out. Staying with Manx, well, why not? It's the year of the Manx language. Things don't get much Manxer than in Clunyach. The annual gathering in the Manx summer, such as it is, the summer that is, not the gathering. And here's a woman who knows more than most about this year's happening.
Dr. Chloe Woolley, Manx Music Development Officer for Culture Fanon and Committee Member for Inclunyacht.
Ahaha, well said. And it is Inclunyacht time again coming up. It comes around very quickly. It must be. So I'm sure they're sneaking in an exit in Inclunyacht every year. Here we are again, though, coming up. Oh, what's going to be happening this year?
Well, Inclunyacht Celtic Gathering starts on Monday, 27th of July, and finishes on August the 2nd, which is a Sunday and also happens to be Peel Carnival. So we've got a week full of amazing events, ticketed concerts and ceilidhs, but loads and loads of free activities and performances happening all around Peel and Douglas. With some festival friend events programmed in Mackled and sessions in Castletown, so plenty going on.
So it's more of an island-wide thing now.
Well, it's mainly based in Peel, and we've kind of tried to make Peel a bit of a Celtic village, so people can come on holiday or just travel over for the day in the evening and take part in lots of different things, and it's walkable. Culture Fanon also got their Manx language summer school. So those students will be learning in the morning and then they can pop down the House of Manan in the afternoon or go along to a session and then stay for the evening at events. We've got some great concerts and ceilidhs going on.
And do you think, is it aimed principally at those people who are already interested in the Celtic language, the Manx language and sort of Celtic culture and studies, or really for people who might want to find out more or have no knowledge about it?
I think it's for everyone, really. We've got very like specialist events happening. So, for instance, we're hosting the launch of a Manx Gaelic edition of the International Journal of the Sociology of Language. So that's a very specialist thing. But at the same time, we'll have beginners tin whistle lessons. And
some, you doing those?
Laura's going to teach those. Laura Rolls from Man and Music is kindly going to do those. Then, of course, ceilidh dancing is very accessible, and Manx dancing is really enjoying a bit of a renaissance at the moment.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Loads of people are getting involved in Manx dancing. So we've got two ceilidhs in the cathedral this year. On the Wednesday evening, we've got a nautical-themed concert in ceilidh. So we'll be starting with the Mollag Band. We've also got Scran, local youth group, are playing. But we've got a ceilidh caller from Scotland coming over called Sandy Breakin. And he's very well known in Scottish music, plays the accordion, but also calls the dancers. And that's an optional fancy dress. So if anyone wants to put their captain's hat on, they could come along to that. We've got a bit of a sea theme throughout the week, actually, in many ways. On the Thursday night, we've got our Celtic Songs of the Sea variety concert, and that'll be in the Centenary Centre. So that's it. That'll feature a lot of our visiting guests as well as local acts, and be choreographed by our president, Bob Carswell, RBV. So as well as that, we've got the Mega Manx ceilidh returning on the Friday night, and that's selling, the tickets are selling very well for that. So don't delay if you fancy coming along to that. And we have our lovely song night on the Tuesday night, featuring, amongst others, Mine's a Shanty.
Excellent, very good lad.
So that's down in Peel Masonic. And that's a nice opportunity to join in with the choruses. So we'll have some of our visiting groups performing at that, as well as local acts, and that'd be lovely. On the Monday, to start the festival, actually, we're going in a funny order. we've got Manx fiddle player Isla Collister coming back from Scotland. She's based in Glasgow now. And she's being joined by Irish musician Cathal O'Curran. And this is an evening sponsored by Culture Ireland, actually. And they have been exploring the links between Donegal, which is where he's from, and the Isle of Man. So they're going to be performing their new music that includes the similarities in the language, but the tunes. Scran are going to join them on stage for a couple of numbers. And Manx, another young Manx band called Anne Corran, they're going to be performing as well. So that'll be a lovely start to the festival on the Monday night.
I always think of Peel as a bit of a Celtic village. It has to be said whether the Crundick's on or not. More from Chloe in a week's time. That's about it for this week, though. See you next week. We'll be catching up with the accidental author Rob Cowley once more to hear about the Big Book of Magical Manx Tales, Volume 2. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Emu.